Open your Bible, please, if you have it with you, open your Bible to Psalm 95. I'm going to read in a minute. But first of all, it was mentioned in the announcements. I'm going to be doing we've been doing this for a number of years now, Advent Soup and Supper Bible Study that I'm going to lead on Wednesday nights, starting on the 28th of this month. If you can bring a soup to one of those studies, see me afterwards. I'll get you signed up. Also, for Advent, and by the way, the first Sunday of Advent, Advent simply means coming, traditional season where we remember that Christ has come and will come again. I'm going to be writing daily devotions for Advent, and they're going to appear on our Facebook page every morning. That'll be the only way to access them. So if you are not on Facebook, do it. You can just have one friend, Christ Presbyterian Church. Well, you have other friends, but a Facebook friend as well. Okay, getting into the weeds here. Get on Facebook. Go to our page, Christ Presbyterian Church, click like, and those devotions will show up on your page every morning. If you don't know how to do that, there's a 10-year-old in your family that can help you. If you don't have a 10-year-old, I will come to your house and help you get that hooked up. Psalm 95. Hear now the word of God. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. The word of the Lord. You bow with me. Oh God, your word is truth. Send your Holy Spirit now and write your word within us so that we might be transformed to be more like Jesus, your living word, in whose name we pray. Amen. Have you ever known somebody, and maybe it's been you from time to time, and maybe it's been me from time to time, have you ever known somebody that had all the gifts anybody would want to have, a nice house and a family and cars to drive that run, plenty of food on the table, and all they want to do is complain, and nothing's ever good enough, and nothing's ever right. Brothers and sisters, gratitude is not based on our circumstances. Gratitude to God is not based on our circumstances. I've been places in the world, and maybe you have too, where people lived in a mud hut that had a dirt floor and no electricity, where they had to walk 2 miles every day to get water. And they were so joyful and full of thanks to God. They put me to shame. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. It's one of the great themes of the Bible, one of the great themes of the Psalms. Come with thanksgiving. And we've got it up here on our banner from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord for His love endures forever. And actually, the full quote, give thanks to the Lord for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. And this Thursday, we're all going to be gathered around the Thanksgiving table. I hope that you have a place for Thanksgiving. And we'll be gathered with family and friends, and we'll take a moment to give thanks to the Lord. And I pray for all of us hearts of gratitude. Give thanks for the blessing in your life. And by the way, let's stop and be amazed for a moment that although we Christians, we frequently are concerned with the increasingly aggressive secularism of our country, let's be thankful for the opportunity to be thankful that once a year, everybody gets a day off. People are a little bit vague about who to thank, but as far as I know, no atheist group has filed a lawsuit to prevent Thanksgiving from taking place. We still do this as a country. Let's give thanks for that and take the opportunity just to be grateful. But also, the fact that our country still does this is a sign, I think, that no matter how secular we've become, there's still something in the human heart that wants to give thanks. We know, even the most unbelieving heart knows, we need to say thank you. And for believers, there's more than one kind of gratitude. I'm going to talk today, and I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it again. There's three kinds of gratitude. And the first one that I want to talk about is the good old-fashioned count your blessings kind. It's the most basic prayer of thanks that we're going to give on Thursday, that we gave today, that maybe you, I hope you, that you have the opportunity every day in your life. Give thanks for your family. Give thanks for your home. Give thanks that there's food to eat. Give thanks for our country and the freedoms that we have here. And we give thanks to God because God's word tells us every one of these gifts comes from God. You and I did not earn them. You and I did not deserve them. They come from God as a gift of pure grace. The book of James says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. There is no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. We are where we are because of God's generosity. Choose to be grateful. Gratitude is always a choice. If you're, let's say, for example, your teenage son or grandson comes home with purple hair and a ring in his nose, you can be upset because nobody had purple hair when you were a teenager. Or you can be thankful that he came home. You can be thankful that he's obviously a creative soul. It's always a choice to be grateful. You may you may get the word from corporate that you're being transferred to Minnesota. You can be upset, or you can thank God that you have a job. Every one of us at some point, and a lot of you here in this room have been through this part of the journey, you have to give up the family home where you raised your kids, and you move into a retirement place. You have a choice. You can get stuck in the place of what you lost, or you can say, thank you, God, that I have a place to go to. Thank you for the memories that I take with me. Gratitude is always a choice. Gratitude is a choice to believe that His love endures forever, that God is good, that the character of God is goodness, and His love endures forever in spite of my circumstances. But let's be honest. After we reach a point in life where the losses start to add up, and that's where we need, God is calling us into a different type of gratitude. First of all is the count your blessings kind of gratitude, but God will call you to a different kind of gratitude. You can see it in verse 6. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. In other words, yeah, we'll come to a place in life where the losses seem to start to outweigh the gifts. And that's where we need to enter into a second kind of, God is calling us to a second kind of gratitude, to trust that He is the Good Shepherd and He's leading us. He's leading us even in losses that we didn't want. And He's caring for us, and we belong to Him, no matter what. It's believing Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And there's a stern warning that comes in this psalm, because there's a point there, along with this call of God to trust Him, even in the losses, there's a temptation. And the temptation is to become bitter and to stop trusting that the Lord is good. And that's where verses 7 to 9 come in. The psalmist gives us a strong warning to hear the voice of God. Listen to verses 7 to 9. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. You see, right after God had led His people, right after God had led His people out of Egypt, He led them to a place called Massah. It's also called Meribah. It's the same place. And there was no water. Now, you would think, perhaps, you would think that, okay, the people are automatically, instantly going to say, woohoo, wow, no water. Watch God go to work. He's been so good. He led us out of Egypt. The plagues, remember that? And protected us. The plagues that came on Egypt because Pharaoh was so stubborn. God is so good. God led us out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Parted the waters of the Red Sea, and we walked through on dry ground. Woohoo! No. They grumbled. Moses, why have you led us out here into this wilderness to die of thirst? And then both Moses and the people failed a test. It's a little hard to understand, but Moses, in frustration, took his staff and struck the rock. Water came out of the rock to God was faithful to his people. Water came out of the rock to quench their thirst. It was a test that God passed and the people failed. When the going got tough, they did not believe that God would be faithful to his word, that God would be their shepherd and provide for them. And so there's this hard word of judgment, and it is a hard word. God said, for 40 years I loathed that generation. I said, they are a people who go astray in their hearts. They will not enter my rest. Now, God continued to provide for them. They didn't starve. God continued to provide for them in the wilderness. But that generation didn't enter the promised land. Every hardship on their journey was greeted not with faith and gratitude, but with complaint. Now, I wonder, as we go on our journey, what does God say about us? Oh, my weaker moments. I know how Phil Moran measures up to that test, and I'm so thankful for the grace of God to cover my lack of gratitude. I want to ask you, too, a hard question, church. On our journey as a church, when we struck out on this journey 4 years ago, man, I would have thought we were going to be in a more comfortable place a lot sooner. That was my expectation anyway. But God has been so good. Look at this place that we have every Sunday morning. God has been so faithful. And to see those children up there this morning, singing, Ellen's wonderful ministry to our children. We are blessed in so many. We have what we need. God has supplied. Oh, Spirit of God, prevent us from grumbling and complaining. Do not harden your hearts as your forefathers did at Massa and Meribah, when they bellyached and complained and took their eyes off the miracles that God had done. But there are times, you know this, there are times when gratitude is as hard as death. Because the losses in life are great, and it can take a while. I think the Spirit of God knows that it takes us a while sometimes to get to gratitude. John Claypool was an Episcopalian minister. He died about 10 years ago. And he discovered this in his own life when his 10-year-old daughter died of leukemia. And he wrote a book, a wonderful little book, and particularly it's a wonderful book for anyone who has lost a child. It's called Tracks of a Fellow Struggler. And he wrote about the heartbreak and how difficult it was to choose to be grateful. Listen to what he wrote. At least it makes things bearable when I remember that Laura Lou was a gift, pure and simple, something I never earned, nor deserved, nor had a right to. And when I remember that the appropriate response to a gift, even when it's taken away, is gratitude, then I am better able to thank God that I was given her in the first place. The way of gratitude does not alleviate pain, but it somehow puts some light around the darkness and builds the strength to begin to move on. That's a choice, brothers and sisters. It's a courageous choice. Remember what Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that leads us to a third kind of gratitude. The Spirit of God will eventually lead us. I think the Spirit of God will eventually call us to a place of being thankful. You know, we begin the journey of thankfulness being thankful for the things God has given. And that's good. And the next step of the journey is to be thankful even when God takes gifts away. But the ultimate step of that journey, because God is always calling us closer to Himself, God is always saying throughout our lives, step closer to me. I want you to trust me. I want you to know me. I want to pour out my love on you. And I want you to trust me alone. The third step of that journey is just to trust God for who God is. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker, for we are His people. We're the sheep of His hand. Back in medieval times, there was a spiritual classic written, and some of you have perhaps read it. John of the Cross wrote a book called The Dark Night of the Soul. And he said essentially that when everything else is stripped away from you, when all of the blessings of life has been taken away and your hopes for the future are gone, that's the point where we're grateful, where God is leading us to the place to be grateful for God, to trust God alone. John of the Cross came to that place when he was thrown in prison for trying to reform the medieval church. John Claypool came to that place when his 10-year-old daughter died of leukemia. Our Lord Jesus came to that place when he was alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he finally prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Sooner or later in life, you're going to come to a place where God will lead you to a question: do I belong to me, or Father, do I belong to you? Am I going to trust in me and what I think I need, or am I going to trust in you and you alone? Are you, Father, sufficient to meet every need? And He is. He is. And even in that dark night of the soul, we are never alone because our Savior has been there. Jesus went to the cross in our place, suffered in our place, passed through that dark place of abandonment. And because He's risen and because He has sent His Holy Spirit, you and I are never alone. And He's sufficient. To get to the place where all that's left is God is actually a place of freedom. Because now I'm not anchored to anything on this earth, but only to my Maker. And then, at that point, I can actually love the gifts, and especially the people that God has given. I can love them even better. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you'll lose it. Hang on to it. You're just going to lose it anyway. But He said, whoever loses their life lets it go for my sake, and the gospel will save it, will find life. He said, unless a seed falls to the ground and die, it will never sprout and produce fruit. It's very easy. You know, I think Most people, the people who don't know the Lord, go through life trying to prevent death, and guess what? It's coming anyway. You can't stop that train. But Jesus says, if you want to live, go ahead and die right now. Die to self. Live to Him. I know that this is true. And by the way, some of you might be thinking, Phil, how do you know this? Because Phil, you've never experienced deep loss in your life, and you're right. But you know what? I've been watching you. And some of you have. And your lives bear witness that God is enough. And you give me hope. You teach me to trust that God is faithful, that God is good, that nothing can separate us from His love. I wish we had time to share all the stories around this room of God's faithfulness through heartbreaking loss. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Amen. Let's bow together in prayer. Mighty Father, thank You for Your great goodness to us in Christ. You've shown us in Him that You are sufficient. Your faithfulness and love that endures forever, that no loss can take away. And I thank You for the freedom that comes from knowing this great truth, from knowing You. And so send Your Holy Spirit and deliver us that we will not harden our hearts. By Your Holy Spirit, God, give us grace that we will not harden our hearts as our forebears did at Massah and Meribah. But instead, Father, trusting every good gift back into Your hands, and I pray for each one here that our constant companions would be joy and thanksgiving in walking with You. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.